Here we go. Here we go.
When you think about it, even the first half is about a comedian who slowly begins to lose her grip on what is right and wrong and what sanity.
That's very true. What if it ended with her just taking over the Cocoa Hut?
See? Well, we didn't see it happen, but what happens at
the
end,
there's a reason,
right?
We never see the Cocoa Hut again.
Right.
And the dangerous reason is they hijacked it for extremely goofy movie. They needed it for that movie, and they couldn't bring it back. Well, I'm glad I squashed that accidentally. Sorry, gentlemen,
no,
but
got
thank
it.
You.
It was perfect.
Yeah, no, great to hear. Thank you, dear listener, for listening to Stew Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. This is our show, and you know what? We're going to say what we want. So if you don't think Hey Arnold is good, then I've got just one thing to say to you. You're incorrect. Please reconsider. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And cry me a river, because super producer Jason Daphnis is not in the booth today, but you can still find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. For this next part, I've prepared a limerick. There once were some friends who, with me, put together a podcast, you see, but one of many remind us, so that you can find us, is that kids is spelled with a Z. Did I just rhyme reminders with find us? You be the judge. Scrub back and hear for yourself.
You know, it's like Jason's handle on Twitter, the Nintendivus.
Yeah, that's right. He can correct us on that. Well, you know what? He can't say anything about that right now. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, if he was, but you know who is here is a very special guest coming back for a season 3 encore performance. Please welcome to the show, Dan Nagin. Dan, how the heck are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I can't wait to come on again, and I couldn't wait till next season. I had to hijack another episode, and what an episode to choose. Two more unhinged episodes for me to get to talk about with all y'all. So it's going to be a great time.
I agree. I love, I love chatting about Hey Arnold with the crew here. I love chatting about the more unhinged storylines with Dan over here. And I should say today we are here to talk about episode 58 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, because I know you are, that is season 3, episode 18, going by production code order. And as we always do, we're going to start with episode A, which is called Helga's Show. Original air date, November 30th, 1998. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Helga tells jokes about her classmates, who take offense to it. I read that verbatim. And as we always do, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. Stark Howell gets the director's credit for this one, and Steve Vixton wrote this one. So shout outs to them. Harry, I think we're starting with you. What did you think about Helga's Show?
Why, thank you, Cody. You know, this was sort of the first episode, maybe of our entire series thus far, and I don't mean this necessarily pejoratively, where I was like, we are really in the jungle of, like, the deep season 3 now, guys, right? Like, it's just like, okay, they introduce a comedy club, so they can sort of, like, put all of these characters that we know and love through the paces of just sort of making meta referential jokes. And then on top of that, we're going to tell a story about comedy and being true to yourself and trying to be considerate, but trying to be considerate within the framework of being yourself. Arnold is going to have a very bizarre role to play. It's going to sort of like rub up uncomfortably with like real world discussions on stand-up comedy that have been percolating in our culture for the past several years. I think Dave Chappelle was just on everybody's hit list again for that, deservedly so. It's also, I think, Emily, you mentioned this, right? It's exactly that one SpongeBob episode where SpongeBob makes fun of Sandy. So for whatever reason, I don't know if like this was a Steve Vixton thing or if it was a Nickelodeon thing or if it was just something that was really, again, percolating in the cultural consciousness. But like these episodes about the power and controversy of stand-up comedy were really apparently a recurring bit. And if I haven't sort of like telegraphed too much, I don't like this episode that much, maybe for that exact reason. I really hate the discourse around comedy and how it's like the most important thing that is or could ever be, and it's an art form that must be protected at all cost, even though the people who are saying that are perhaps the least funny individuals on the planet, ironically, I guess. This is still a good episode in a weird way, right? Because Steve Vixton is a good writer, because we get to see so many angles of all of the different characters, we get to see so many dynamic interactions between all of them, right? When they're making Helga an outcast, when they're feeling put out by her jokes about them, when they come around to liking the jokes again. I really like to see all of those character interactions. I'm just not sure I feel great about where this one ends up, I guess. Where like it's nice that everyone sort of realizes that they're all being picked on together and therefore they can have a thicker skin about it because it's funny. And I think it makes a lot of sense in some ways that Arnold is the communicator of that, and who tells Helga that it's okay to be herself. There's even something kind of charming about that in the sense that Arnold is almost subconsciously coming around to accepting Helga for who she is. But, you know, I don't know that I really agree with it at the end of the day so much, right? It's like, I don't know, Helga, is it really like super important to you to be like the class clown at this stand-up comedy? And is the only way you can do that really to make fun of people? And if so, like, maybe just don't. And you know, we never go back to this comedy club. So apparently the writers thought the same thing. But yeah, all in all, a very strange episode with a strange energy, and one that feels a little bit disposable compared to a lot of other Hey Arnold episodes. But maybe that's just me, and maybe I'm sort of letting my own predispositions prejudice me against it. I'll be really interested to hear what you all think. So let's hear it.
Yeah, let us. No, Harry, I think you're onto something. If Helga was just nicer to everybody and didn't give people the business so much, she would just be a different person, you know? She would be, I don't know, we just pull a name out of a hat. She'd be like, you know, an Olga instead of a Helga.
All right, you're getting me pretty good here, but you have a good point. I think her performance sort of reflects the performance that she puts on within the larger school.
I didn't mean to get you too hard, especially
Cody.
Yeah. Let's here. I'll pull this heavy mallet off of you that I've been hitting you with. Let's pivot to Emily. Emily, what did you think about this episode?
Yeah, I don't like this episode either. I know we have very well established on the pod that Hey Arnold is in fact Helga's show. So nice to see that kind of come full circle in the title of this one. And I am surprised that it's a Steve Vixton joint, because he is such a great writer. He has so many bangers. He has so many episodes of the show. And then to see like, oh, he had a swing and a miss, I think, with this particular episode. And that's okay, because Hey Arnold is still phenomenal, and it's all right to have a few that aren't, knockouts in the series. And this being one of them, I think. So, yeah, I can say some stuff I like about it, but just to like kind of hone in on my overarching thoughts, I think that Helga is just a little bit funny with her mean-spirited jokes and her impersonations, but it's overall, she's just like not even that funny. So you're kind of just like, oh, okay, like, ha ha. I don't know. I think maybe the even just the way they wrote those jokes and impersonations for her to do and for Francesca to perform, it just didn't quite even land in like a, oh, that's like a really witty gotcha way. So I don't know. I think this also felt, when I first watched it ahead of the watch party, I thought it was kind of feeling like a bit meta in a way, where like the show writers are sort of just making fun of their own tropes for the characters and kind of like showing like how they could they've distilled down every, you know, big characterization into this like Helga's caricatures of each character. And so I don't know if this is like the writer's episode to just kind of make fun of themselves or what is happening really, but yeah, I just wish it was funnier, I guess, like actually funny for this being Helga, the comedian. I think that the message, right, is like, okay, well, be genuine, be authentic, speak your truth, like Harry's saying, stay true to yourself, but Helga can't stop being, you know, Helga, and she's going to be a bully and be mean because that's pretty much how she knows how to interact in the world. And I was realizing too, and during our watch party, I wish that it almost like took the turn when Phoebe gives her advice. I almost wish it went further in that direction and Helga was able to laugh at herself more or something, or be like, oh yeah, I guess I kind of am this bully at school. I guess I kind of, I can see myself through how the kids are giving me the feedback about the jokes. Maybe she'd kind of be able to look in the mirror and laugh a little bit, but that is just not the case too, because that would be way too vulnerable for Helga G. Pataki to handle, I guess, which is fair and okay also. But I just was wondering like, oh, I kind of wish it maybe went more in that realm. But there are some funny things about it. I really like when Harold shouts, "Not funny!" during Helga's portion of like complimenting everyone and being super disingenuous, but trying to take Phoebe's advice so everyone doesn't hate her as much. And a lead balloon is mentioned again, which was mentioned a few episodes ago. So that's a weird call out or callback in this season. And then I guess one other thing is just, I feel like it's kind of, it made me sad almost just because, so Helga truly can't think of a compliment. She can't think of anything nice to say about any of her classmates or even her best friend, Phoebe. She like really views everyone super negatively. Like even when she was sitting there just trying to think of something, she shrugs and she's like, no, I got nothing. Which is even sadder because it makes me realize Helga sees herself in such a negative way, probably. I mean, she just can't think of a single thing, a single nice thing, or a single, like, positive thing. It just kind of hurt, and it hurt me, and I just wanted to laugh at the Cocoa Hut, and I was left in pain. And, yeah, Chocolate Boy had a few too many Cocochinos, and I felt kind of the same, I guess, by the end of this one.
Yeah, no, hey, this was one of, it feels like many episodes up to this point where something happens and we just think, man, Helga, you know, Helga can use that therapy any day now. Stay tuned for next season when she will be on the couch in an episode that we've all been looking forward to since we started this. But one thing that I've been looking forward to among all this is hearing what Dan thinks about this episode. So Dan, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Cody. And I want to just start by echoing what Emily and Harry both said and saying that I don't really like this episode either, because I really don't think that they thread the needle in what they're trying to do. This is one that, watching it, I think I built out a more full episode in my memory of what this episode was. And I was giving it a lot more credit than what it actually ended up doing. And so when I was remembering this one, I was like, oh, this is one that is really a strong lesson about empathy. And Helga really tries to, she learns a really important lesson about recognizing boundaries with other people and not crossing those and respecting people. And it's like, nah, none of that happens. Some of it, I think they wanted it to happen. And then they just filled in the blanks to make it seem like, yeah, everyone kind of learned that lesson without ever addressing it. And then the episode just ends. And it's like, okay, never see the Cocoa Hut again. which I want to say, I don't think anyone else here has ever watched 90210, but I think potentially the Cocoa Hut is a reference to 90210's Peach Pit, which is the hangout for all of the kids in that. And I feel like that was what they were trying to do. Like what Harry said of this being like a real later season episode where it's like they're just kind of taking the characters and throwing them into a new area. It feels almost like this was like a producer's note of just being like, yeah, what if we put them in a some sort of like teen hangout for them to hang out and just see what happens there. And maybe that can be a place that episodes take place at. And then it's like, no, let's forget this ever happened here. But this is another in a long-standing tradition of episodes that I've come on where I'm thinking more about the latter episode of the two. And then upon looking at them both, I'm like, oh, that first episode has a lot more impact and meaning to certain moments in my own life, where the very first one I came on, False Alarm and World Record, came on because the greatest comedic line of all time, 10 Square Pounds from World Record, brought me on. And I was like, I got to talk about that. And then False Alarm is like, oh, this may be the inspiration for why I'm a lawyer. Sid's Revenge and Roller Coaster, I was like, that's some Clifford stuff right there. They're stuck on a roller coaster. I remember that vividly. And then Sid's Revenge is like all about anxiety as a young person. I'm like, oh no.
It's what inspired you to get revenge, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what inspired me to get really, really weirdly into totem figure carving, which was an interesting thing. I don't know, Harry, has your back been okay? I've been trying to get at that recently.
I wondered about that.
Yeah. And this is another one where I remember vividly in the flood, them trying to help Mr. Simmons off of the ladder. And then coming into this, I was like, oh man, a Helga episode. I've very pointedly avoided doing Helga episodes because they feel too pointed at myself, because a lot of her experiences are reminiscent of my own. And I'm just like, this feels too close to home for me to talk about her. I don't really want to get into like neglectful parents and stuff like that, or having anger problems as a kid. But here I am talking about it. And this was one where I had kind of that moment of almost like, I thought this episode was where Helga tries to rebrand herself as a comedian, where she's like, I'm moving on from being a bully. I'm going to try and be the funny one. And it doesn't go well. And she starts crossing lines with people. That's what I remembered it being. And maybe that's just because that was something that I had happened to myself, where I tried to, like, middle school, I was like, all right, new school, time to rebrand myself as the funny one rather than being the weird, quiet kid. And
oh, heck yeah.
It did not work for me, because like I had a lot of those moments of just being like, oh, I've crossed a line with someone and hurt their feelings unintentionally. And so I think I gave this episode a lot more credit because I applied my own journey and lessons that I learned of figuring that stuff out and having empathy for other people and recognizing it doesn't matter your intent when you say a joke. It matters how it's going to be perceived and how the other person takes it. And I just assumed the episode did that, and it doesn't.
It sort of does exactly the opposite, in fact, right? Like by the end of this episode, it seems to be implying that, like, well, Helga's intent was not to hurt. It was to be funny within the context of comedy, and therefore we can dismiss the fact that she was being mean, which is sort of like,
right.
That seems exactly wrong, I guess.
It feels like a weird lesson.
Everyone is just being too sensitive is all.
Right. It's like kind of weirdly a cancel culture episode in like a super weird way, because like even the final lesson is kind of that, like, okay, like we are giving Helga this safe place or this safe sort of like arbitration of real school community where she can express herself in ways that are not going to be received disfavorably. But that makes it kind of like, oh, see, Helga wasn't at fault here. It was everybody else who took what she was saying seriously and brought it back with them outside of the like inalienable rights contained within the comedy space. And it's like, I don't know. Did Steve Vixton like have a bad stand-up night or something? That's maybe too mean. Sorry.
I mean, I don't know. Hey, Steve Vixton You've been called out. Come on the pod. Straighten out your account. I love what y'all
have... He's going to do impressions of all of us, and it's going to absolutely destroy us. It's just going to be the worst thing that's ever happened to us.
Yeah. No, sorry, Dan. Did you have a direct response to Steve Vixton, stand-up king?
Oh, I was gonna follow up on something that Emily mentioned of how Helga's act isn't even funny, and a lot of this feels like just hack comedy. And it begins even with her doing one of the most hack comedian lines of all time of, I think it sounds a little something like this. And it's the worst. Like, I used to do stand-up every now and then, and like I got very into like certain stand-up scenes. And I remember going to New York City once for like a series of meetings, and I had a free night. So I was like, I'm going to go and see a comedy show in New York City. Hot dog. This is going to be great. And I end up going to, I don't remember where the place was called. I think it was like Gotham Comedy. And it ended up being the, I remember I got there and the guy that was taking my ticket was like, you sure about this? Who are you here to see? And I was like, no one, I'm just here. And he's like, okay, what weird choice, but all right. And it ended up being a stand-up comedy classes performance night. So it was a bunch of people learning how to do stand-up comedy, doing it in front of like friends and family primarily. And I think I was the only person there that did not personally know someone. It was the worst experience that I've had at a comedy club because it started with a guy who came on stage, and his like credits are like he's been on like Late Night with Jimmy Kimmel a ton. And he straight up did the... He came out and he was like, have you ever wondered what it would be like if the Elephant Man was like on The Apprentice? Maybe it would go a little something like this. And I wanted to die because it was the first act. I was like, oh no, this is a 2-hour show.
So maybe like what we should have had at the end here was somebody should have been like, Helga, your original stuff wasn't funny. It was even that stuff wasn't that good. So like maybe try something else. I don't know. Maybe you're not a comedian.
Yeah, and it's tough because the stand-up, everybody here has poked and prodded at it, but just like stand-up comedy is not the right energy to bring onto a show like Hey Arnold, no matter how you try and spin it, like it's not going to come out of the wash looking the way you want it to. And, you know, this, I had faint memories of this episode, or maybe I'm just projecting because I remember squirrel jokes so well. And then any instance of that episode that any TV series has ever done, I'm just like, oh yeah, I know that episode, but it's really just, you know, it's the squirrel jokes blueprint, classically, but, squirrel jokes came after this episode, of course, but, I was thinking back to Cool Party, and there was basically like a 2-minute condensed version of what this episode we're talking about now could have been, where it's the characters reflecting on like why they weren't invited to the cool party. And then that's sort of like a meta critique of like from this, you know, using this specific lens, like let's poke fun at each other. It's like, well, you probably didn't get invited to the cool party because you're, you know, you're a jinx, or, I mean, they didn't quite do that, but like, you kind of see what I'm getting at. Like that's allows for, you know, if they wanted to do the episode written by Craig Bartlett, which that episode was, and sort of get at like the heart of, you know, the tropes of these characters in the show, kind of like what Emily was talking about, but do it with, you know, kind of do their due diligence. They could have done this differently, but they didn't. And, you know, it is the way it is. This isn't, you know, I also didn't love this episode, but I am just appreciative of every episode as like a data point and understanding, like, how did this show come to be how it is? And like, why does this episode live in Dan's brain the way it does, or the way it lives in my brain the way it does, or any of our brains for that matter? And, you know, if anything, one kind of weird takeaway that I think a few of us have mentioned is Arnold's role. We've talked a lot about Arnold's role in episodes throughout the season, how he's sort of inserted as a way to be sort of a coded, like, this is the moral of the episode. I am spoon feeding this to you. Do with it what you will. And now this time, you know, he's at first very unaffected by the comedy, the quote unquote scare quotes comedy that Helga is relaying, because she doesn't call him out specifically. And, you know, He at the halfway point, you know, Rhonda and the gang are just like, well, you know, you didn't think that was mean. He's like, no, I thought it was funny. I mean, these, the sort of idea that, you know, we're, every jest is, stems from what they perceive to be an inherent truth or things that they all see, you know, things on the things that they see on the surface of these people doing, you know, that's not necessarily incorrect. It's just a very weird flavor to try and insert and like use your main character as the sort of mouthpiece for that. Just like, yeah, it is funny because like we're all funny people and what we do is funny sometimes because we're all humanoid dorks and that's the way the world works. And then at the end being like, no, Helga, you should be like, you know, no, you should be Ricky Gervais. You deserve that. We need that here. That's very important for you to do that. That's just the completely, you know, as a one-off episode, sure, like, you know, dispose of this however you will. But yeah, I don't know. I'm glad this is not an energy that they maintain.
Really good points. I think two things. First, just to sort of directly respond to that, I think that like it's there's something almost interesting happening here about some themes that we've played with in Hey Arnold before. And don't worry, I warmed up, so this stretch is not going to hurt me too badly. But like the idea that these are characters who are sort of confronting the way that they're perceived by other students or like their peers, and that's part of why it's so painful, because now they have to see this side of themselves that they had maybe never considered before as being worthy of derision or being made fun of. And then ultimately sort of suggesting that it's okay, because like that really is just one aspect of you and there are all of these other aspects. I don't really think that the episode does that, but it would be interesting if it did, right? And similarly, like the second thing, Emily brought this up during her thoughts, and it's like the weirdest thing about the fact that Helga can't think of anything nice to say about her friends is it's a conflict with her personality. Like in this is one of those weird episodes where Helga doesn't seem to have a crush on Arnold, and therefore we only get like the Big Bob half of Helga in this episode. We like straight up don't get to see any of the duality of her personality. And it's like the Helga we know does have lots of thoughts that are positive about all of her friends. She just can't express them. And like, I'm not saying, I think for the record, like if Phoebe's plan had been successful, I think this would have been a very maudlin episode. So I'm glad that they didn't go with that necessarily. But it is strange that like we get this version of Helga that's like, gee, I just can't think of anything nice to say about anyone. It's like, is that really true? I feel like that is a direct conflict with what we've seen and know of Helga, right? Like this is the girl who writes like profound love poems to Arnold all of the time, and the joke is that she has to hide away her eloquence to be a bully because that's how she feels comfortable. So the idea that her poem would suck is weird, I guess, and maybe it's just because she's pretending even harder, right? So she has to present one version of performance instead of another, I guess, and that version of performance is something that is truer because she's more used to it. I don't know. But yeah, ultimately, I think that like, Emily, you're right in that you see the episode title Helga's Show, and it's like, you think this is going to be a Helga episode, but in a weird way, it's not, right? Because it's actually about Helga the comedian, which is this weird insert character that we put in Helga's body, but that does not really have a lot of the traits we've come to associate with Helga beyond just being sort of the bully of the episode. And being clever, I guess. So yeah, just, it's a strange one. But it was interesting, as Cody said, as like a data point. I really liked that analogy.
Yeah. And like what Dan was saying with thinking that this episode was more of like Helga rebranding herself as a comedian and moving away from her bullying ways. It's like, that would be a much more interesting episode too. That would be way better. That would be a more realized version of her in the episode. You'd see more of her her actual feelings and thoughts and stuff that are just not a part of this towards her friends and the classmates. But yeah, Harry, great points about like she obviously has all of those poems too, and she could write so well and speak so eloquently about people, especially about Arnold, of course. But then for that to just be like completely missed in this is like, well, who is Helga in this episode?
Who are any of us? Hey, one thing is for sure with regards to rebranding. You won't see it from us anytime soon, at least. I want to open the floor for anybody to give any final threads, thoughts, takes, shout-outs, anything like that before we lower the curtain on Helga's show? Question mark?
Yeah. Just my last shout-out, I guess, is that Emily referred to this too, but, and maybe I'm just being overly critical because I'm thinking about it now, but like, it strikes me that Chocolate Boy is a very strange character in this television show. In this one, it's like explicitly made a joke that he is being cut off. They say, "I'm cutting you off" at the bar because he's ordering too many like chocolate teenies or something. It's, and like the joke is like, haha, it's funny because it's like a real addict, but with chocolate. And it's like, that's so, for one thing, like, is that even a joke kids would like get behind? And two, like, it, like, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, writer, like, sit me down and explain to me why you thought this was a good idea. But like, it is funny. It's just the sort of thing that's like, huh, this is a character that is definitely a part of this show, huh? So yeah, shout outs to the weirdness of Chocolate Boy. We love Chocolate Boy.
I was going to shout out Chocolate Boy as well, because the inclusion of that moment is so out of pocket, where it's just like, like you said, what was that writer doing there? What was the joke? Who's that joke for? Because it's not for kids. And for the parents that are watching there, that's a weird energy to bring. But my shout out is to Sid for noticing how Helga included someone named Nate in her poem. And he just the confusion of who's Nate?
Yeah, shout out Choco Chinos for sure. I mean, chocolate is just every kid's favorite thing ever. So like the chocoholic nature of children, but it is a weird way to write that in. But anyway, for my shout outs, I'd like to shout out Gerald at the very beginning with Sit on the Bongos. And Gerald is reading a beat poem about the bounce, bounce, bouncing of the red dodgeball. And then he grabs a mic and there's like a perfect mic squeak sound effect at the exact moment he grabs a mic. And you're just like, I just want that to be the entire episode. It's just Gerald and Sid performing poems. How cool would that be? And then shout out also to Lemon Pudding. Of course, that sounds delicious. Also Choco Chinos. I just really like seeing any delicious looking cartoon food, as we've mentioned before. And then shout out to Dan for, in the watch party, was saying, I noticed Arnold's head was like really big when they were all sitting on the stoop. And I'm like, is his head getting bigger? And Dan's like, well, what if they just drew his head gradually larger in every single episode of the show? So you just like one episode after the other and you're like, am I seeing that right? Is that Arnold's head just getting a little bit bigger? That would be great. Great idea. Let's leave that as a pitch for the reunion show.
That's right.
I love that we've pitched a lot of great ways to improve not only this episode, but the series in general.
That's what this is about, right? This is about fixing the show. Hey, Arnold, this is a podcast about making it better.
Yeah, we love armchair directing. And hey, just as Arnold said to Helga, keep doing the funny stuff, we're going to keep doing the Hey Arnold stuff. So do not touch that dial, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to Stew Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. As we always say, the episode's better when the climate is wetter, which is great because episode B is called The Flood. Made Dan choke on his drink there. Original air date, November 30th, 1998. The Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Thank God it's short. The town is flooded and Arnold's class is trapped in the school, period. And once again, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. Christine Kolosov directed this one, and Antoinette Stella wrote it. Shout outs to them, and shout outs to Emily who I'm going to hand the mic to first. Emily, what did you think about this particular flood?
I really liked your opening of the episode. Gosh darn it. I don't like this episode either. Man, what happened? What the heck is going on? I think these two episodes back to back, it's the first time ever in the whole series that we've done that I haven't liked either A or B. And I've only not liked parts of other episodes for the most part, but to have two where I'm like, damn it, I don't like either of them. Gosh darn, what happened? So to get into that, I guess I think that this is just a really offensive episode, and it sucks to see that. It's super offensive to Native and Indigenous people throughout the entire episode, and I mean, there's outfits, there's face paint, there's the characters making sounds they shouldn't be making that are offensive to those people. They're acting out of character as if they're like losing their minds when they're dressed up in Native and Indigenous ways. And it's just like, oh man, what were we doing here? Antoinette Stella, I don't know what the thought was going on with that. It's also really upsetting that Principal Wartz is also doing some racist stuff. He's got a sombrero and like Latino clothing on and is doing that whole impersonation or something with, yeah. And it's like, what are all of these characters doing? I get they're trying to like get at that this is a stressful time and they're locked down in school and there's a flood and the flood actually comes all the way up to like, I don't know, the fifth level of the buildings in the city of Hillwood. It's like, oh wow, this was like otherworldly level of a flood. But even so, geez Louise, yeah, it's very offensive. I think this is probably the most offensive episode we have seen in all of those ways I laid out. It's also Curly asking Rhonda to give Daddy some sugar with his lips puckered up. Like, I'm like screaming no in the watch party. It's just upsetting. It's just an upsetting episode, I think, basically. But let me see what else I got here. I think the part where, and I have a question for y'all, is like when Simmons wants Arnold to gather everyone up to the roof, and I won't even use the word they use a million times in this that's offensive to Native and Indigenous people. But like he wants them to be a unit, a group, or the word that would be offensive to Native people. And he's like, oh, Arnold, you're the only one who can do this. You're the only one who can like get through to your classmates and pull together as a group and, I don't know, save the day. But so he does that. And then Simmons like is about to die though on this ladder. So I feel like that's not part of his plan, is it? That's like something goes haywire. Or I'm not sure. I wonder what y'all think. So then there's that aspect of it. Helga like flies out into the flood, and she has, you know, a nice little moment of calling out to Arnold. So you're like, okay, there's one tiny little moment of the crush between them where Arnold's like, no, Helga, kind of, and she's like, Arnold, and they're like, oh, okay. Then we had a little romance in half of a second. We otherwise had a bunch of offensive and upsetting stuff between every character. The thing I like the most is just Grandpa taking none of Oscar's bullshit over in the biodome, biosquare environment. I really like Grandpa so much, and he's really funny calling Oscar yellow life, and Oscar like going, oh, look at me, I'm huffing and puffing, as he's like pretending to be helpful. Pretty funny in that one scene. But yeah, otherwise, I don't know. I'm upset about this one, and I want to hear everyone else's thoughts.
I definitely do as well. You're right, though. Standout scenes of the episode were with Grandpa and Oscar. IMO, they could have used more of that. Not to, you know, lay all my cards on the table. I do, you know, instead of, you know, you don't want to hear me talk, you want to hear the person talk who has Curly as their social media avatar. So I will toss it to Harry. Harry, what did you think about this episode?
Great setup, Cody. Wow, I'm so glad Emily started, huh? Yeah, those are really excellent points. And it kind of goes to show that, like, this is not a controversial episode. It was not controversial when it came out. Nobody talks about it now. And it just goes to show that, like, the 90s were really, like, and no offensive pun intended, the Wild West when it came to, like, the way we could talk about Native people and the way that, like, the word that Emily alluded to could just be used without any sort of, like, weight or implication. And in fact, like, there could even be this sort of, like, really, really weird line drawn between, yes, like, I think that, like, to this episode's sort of, like, tenuous credit, what it's actually doing is not trying to be offensive so much as, like, creating this very quick narrative shorthand, right? It's like, oh, yeah, like, as quote-unquote society breaks down under these stressors, these kids sort of, like, they become these hilarious, over-the-top versions of uncivilized people, right? And I just used square quotes. But it's like, the problem with that is, like, just think about what I just said, right? and think about, like, what it actually means and the implications behind that. Rough stuff. It's kind of a shame because I kind of like the idea of, like, a bottle episode where everybody goes stir crazy inside of PS-118. They almost do that, except that, like, the way that they convey that that's happening is to do this really, like, first of all, like, bog standard Lord of the Flies send up, which is, like, boring from the start, and it's made more and more offensive because they continually sort of, like default to these, like, Native American tropes and trappings. It's funny that, like, I'm so glad that Emily started, because, like, I think I like this episode more than Helga's Show, and I think it might just be because of how it moves in that way. Like, I think that the character arc of the kids coming together to save Simmons in the end makes sense. It's set up at the beginning of the episode, and I really, really like the Grandpa Oscar stuff. It's like their arc basically never coincides with the kids until the very end of the episode when they rescue him. It's literally just an episode about Oscar and Grandpa at certain points. It's just like, hey, these two weirdos are gonna have this weird relationship with each other, and they're like the odd couple. And, like, Grandpa has these hilarious things where, like, at one point he wakes up in the biodome because he fell asleep and he's like, oh no, I had an accident. Oh good, it's just the flood. Amazing line. When Principal Wirtz calls him on the phone, he starts telling a story about how his great-grandfather built an ark in the 1916 flood, and then he interrupts himself to say, oh no, I was thinking of Noah from the Bible. Really good stuff there. And like, this is an episode I remember really well, maybe just because it's very visually distinctive, in the sense that, like, I tend to think of, like, the sort of, like, almost mini series of extreme weather episodes that we had in Arnold, where, like, there's a heat episode, there's the snow episode, and then there's this episode. And, like, those are all pretty memorable, but this is by far the worst of those, I guess, right? Like, and not just because it's, like, very offensive, though that would be enough, but more just even because, especially coming off the heels of Helga's Show, it's sort of like, what are we doing, guys? Was this just a bye week? Like, what? I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's just sort of like, I guess you got to bunt sometime just to advance the runners, I guess. Yeah, I'm going crazy over here, Cody.
Well, you just rattled off so many sports references in one go. That is the highlight of this episode of Hey Arnold, I think. And yeah, Heat and Snow are both, like, potentially, like, top 10 episodes. And then you look at their stepbrother, the flood, and
yeah.
So I guess my segue was going to be asking Dan how he felt about the movie The Day After Tomorrow, but I already know how he feels about that because he talked about it on his podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to get right into Dan. What did you think about this episode of Hey Arnold?
Worse than The Day After Tomorrow.
Not saying much. The Day After Tomorrow rules, but go on.
Yeah, it's a banger of a movie. So it's not even a competition. But I'm kind of in between Emily and Harry on this one. Like, the Grandpa and Oscar stuff is the highlight of this episode, even though it's not necessarily the parts that I remembered going into it. I really remember the kids coming together and saving Mr. Simmons as he's about to drop to his death And probably just because that is such a harrowing sequence, and that just burned itself into my memory of just being like, I can't believe that this almost happened on a kid's show. And like the Grandpa and Oscar stuff, though, I wish that was just the episode. Just in the background periphery, you just knew that Arnold and the kids were stuck at the school and you only followed them the whole episode. It would be a great episode. Up there, Harry didn't mention this, but one of the best jokes in there, it's not even a dialogue, but it's Oscar's scion that he has created, because his plan is that he's going to try and make money off of the raft by charging $50 for his expert rescue services. And my favorite part of that is that he, in parentheses after $50, he indicates great price, which is fantastic. But the even better joke is that at some point during the trip from the boarding house to the school, he reduces price to 50 cents, which is even better. Like, he really just, he had a great change of heart. But yeah, this episode coupled with Helga's show, it feels almost like they got like people who have never watched Hey Arnold, they just got the cliff notes of who the characters are, and they're just like, make a couple of episodes, because they get some of like the characteristics right, where it's like Curly, he's unhinged. How do you express that? Hasn't changed his underwear in 5 weeks. Great. Nailed it. Moving on. And like some of those moments like work isolated, but in whole, like it just, it's not a great episode. It doesn't feel like it's really going anywhere. The warts and Helga scene is really funny, isolated, just the idea of it, but then just kind of where it culminates of warts seemingly accepting his fate on the school and cut to black is a weird ending to a weird episode that has like a very troubling tone overall. Like what Harry said of like, it kind of tries to use the shorthand of like Lord of the Flies, but doesn't really work. And I feel like Harry didn't do a great job of saving his boy Curly on this episode.
Nope. We have, I think, successfully canceled him by this point. Curly, but Harry, you're on watch, big guy. He accepts his fate. Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately Dan hit the nail on the head with regards to kind of like my ultimately kind of how I feel about this episode. I mean, look, I spent some time a little bit ago on this episode talking about each episode being a data point and appreciating that data point and how it plays into the full spectrum of the data set. And, you know, you look at this episode and you look at, you know, especially the offensive parts, and you just go, yikes. All right. If this has to be part of the set, that's how it's got to be. But, you know, I can't, and I think others here are sort of the same way, when we try to think about what this episode could have been to be better or to make us enjoy it a little bit more, we gravitate toward the things that we like, and we sort of take the perspective of armchair director. And, you know, we've kind of done that a little bit. You know, we've talked about how, and I think I was trying to think of a way to characterize it, but Dan, I think, did a really great job of it, of just, you know, this is a zany situation. You know, all the injustice this episode did with regards to communicating around, you know, Indigenous and Native peoples, but just the situation itself of being trapped due to a weather scenario a la The Day After Tomorrow, 2004. Pick up the Blu-ray. If it's on Steelbook, maybe you can pick up the Steelbook for it. That sort of situation, and then using that as an opportunity to, you know, write some really strange, perhaps out of character, ordinarily out of character lines to be enjoyed sort of in a vacuum. You know, Curly saying he hasn't changed his underwear in how long was it? 5 weeks. Just like clip that. And that's very funny. Edit out the offensive garb Principal Warts is wearing and clip the conversation he has with Helga in the hallway. That is extremely funny in a vacuum. Oscar, with like wily coyote eyes as he brings the raft out of the biodome, and Grandpa thinking he pissed his pants. That is hilarious. Clip that, and that is like that in itself is exponentially better and more enjoyable than the entirety of this episode.
Leaving Grandpa there to die, presumably, because that Mile Square was clearly filling up with flood water. And as he's trying to get the boat out of the Bio Square, he's like, "Oh, Grandpa, go back to sleep. You're dreaming." And it's like, good God, you're going to kill that old man.
Right. And so it does ultimately feel like, you know, again, just hijacking Dan's characterizations of, like, you know, somebody who has never watched Star Wars, you know, being shown character cards of people from Star Wars and being like, who's this? What role do they have? What are these movies about? And just like doing that. But with Hey Arnold, just, you know, like, this is our understanding of these characters. Curly is really strange. And Mr. Simmons likes dangling from buildings for no reason. He's not the smartest guy for whatever reason, and so on and so forth. And so in very isolated, in a vacuum sort of moments and sort of ways, I laughed audibly at certain components of this episode. And then other things happened, and I felt really bad for laughing because yikes. But I don't know. It's not really a shot chaser situation. It's kind of a shot and then like maybe a slightly bigger shot. But hey, that's the Dan Nagin effect, folks.
I mean, but like it didn't have to be a racist offensive episode, but like
totally.
I don't know. We can't just say it was the 90s, crazy times, man. Right. It, like, definitely they shouldn't have been writing it like this back then, even. I mean, or any time. But I was thinking too about, well, and just on that note too, even the ending song, the like credits roll. And the end song is like a remix of all of the most offensive parts of the audio clipped together in like a fun doot doot doop 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 remix. And you're like, oh my God, we're really like, we are doubling down hard on how offensive this one is.
I'm imagining that, like, Emily's like the character in this scene where like she's showing her like daughter a show that meant a lot to her or something, right? And it's like, oh, you picked the wrong. It's like comically offensive, right? Like every 5 seconds, there's something that's like, no,
just like, you're, like, it's not normally like this. Bad.
Yeah,
but on that note too, so I wanted to say, I was realizing as well the high stakes of episodes in season 3, and this being another really big high stakes one, because we had the pig war where Abner the pet pig was about to be eaten by the rival Brits, and then we had an episode recently with Dan, Roller Coaster, where poor Eugene and Arnold and Lucky the fireman are all about to die, like fall to their death at the top of the Dinoland ride. And then we lead up to the flood where Simmons, Grandpa, like everyone is just like up on their deathbed. And I guess, yeah, Grandpa thought he was going to die in the other episode too, Grandpa's birthday. So like, I'm kind of just noting that season 3, man, we are really on one with this.
Imagine if Lucky showed up in this episode, like, in addition, on the raft at some point, just Lucky was on there with Grandpa and Oscar.
Amazing callback.
Would have been amazing. I would have been so hyped. It would have been, this would have changed from a 3-star episode out of 10, just to make that clear, to a 7 or 8.
Just because of how hot Lucky the fireman is, or why? I mean, exactly. Also, yes.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the fact of, like, everyone loves Lucky, he should have gotten a spinoff show. Yeah, he's, his design, top notch. We all love him. He's super hot. And I don't know, just, it would have been funny to see him panicking in the life raft, and it's just like, oh, he also can't swim or some joke like that.
Right. What if they did the exact same thing as they did with him in Roller Coaster, where he shows up, it's a heroic theme plays, he exudes a lot of bravado, and then he just gets stuck on the ladder with Simmons trying to save him, and he turns into a whiny crybaby.
This is exactly, like, oh my God, what I'm gonna die before. Yep. This is what his whole spinoff show would be too.
Oh boy. Well, oh yeah, sorry, go ahead, Emily.
Oh, I just wanted to make a note. I liked your note of the this being the stepfather, I think you called it, of Heat and Snow. So this is like the racist uncle or something of Heat and Snow, like what happens with the Flood. I don't know.
Yeah, it's rough stuff, but hey, thankfully where we are right now, it's a calm day, the sun is setting, and we are not nearly as offensive as this episode. So hey, we're going to press on. We're going to hopefully give some good shout outs, anything that, you know, it kind of tickled our fancies in a good way from this episode, some nice wholesome notes to go out on, or any kind of lingering threads that we didn't get to with this one.
I kind of like that Simmons has this weird sort of pitiful little arc where he's like, I've lost control of my students. I know, I'll go to the roof and signal for help. And then like, that's what he's trying to do when the ladder breaks. And I'm just like, throughout this episode, I'm like, Simmons, what are you doing, man? Like, you didn't show up to play this episode, I guess. But I mean, to be fair, he was caught unawares by, the fact that all of a sudden they were just all trapped in the building. As that's the other shout out, I guess, is that I found that that PA moment at the beginning of the episode really funny, where it's like, yeah, we are trapped here. We're going to be trapped here for the night. We're trapped here. Don't go anywhere because we're trapped. That was pretty good.
You know, we never really followed up on the question that Emily threw out at the beginning of this of, it didn't even cross my mind. Was this all Simmons' plan? Did he put himself into a fake precarious situation to try and get the kids to come together? Because that hadn't crossed my mind. And I mean, it would kind of work as almost like a, I don't know, some sort of weird like jokerification moment of Simmons, of him putting himself in harm's way to get the kids to unify. I hadn't considered that, but that's a wild theory.
He drops the metal file into the waters below just as the kids see him on the ladder. Sure, I could see it.
I think it was his plan going awry, but I don't know. Cody, what do you think?
I think there's nothing else I can really do but signal three cheers for this episode. To England, to Mankind, to Manchester United. That's from The Day After Tomorrow, year of release 2004, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Dennis Quaid, Sir Ian Holm. Dan, thank you so much again for being here today. Thank you for bringing these episodes in front of us. You zany man. Remind us, where can people find you, and is there anything you would like to plug?
I don't care for your characterization of this being my fault that you had to cover these. You would have done them regardless.
No, we were going to skip this one. You insisted.
Oh, no.
No, it's just the way the cards fell. Heart of the cards. It happens.
I mean, I called this. I took it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Dan, for pointing out the fall of Nickelodeon to us via these two episodes.
This is the downfall. Everything's downhill from here. But you can find me online. Just look for me at A Dapper Dan Man on most places. If I'm not there at that handle, search for my full name at Dan Nagin. It's one of the two.
You got to get this under wraps. You got to get this under control.
Legitimately, I've been sitting here intermittently thinking to myself, is my Instagram just Dan Nagin, or did I get A Dapper Dan Man? I don't remember. It's hard because people love Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And they're just like, got to get that Dapper Dan reference. And everyone's taking it. It drives me nuts. I got to find a better username.
Well, hey, tough but fair. Tough but fair.
Yeah. Cody, you dropped some hints to it, but you can also find my podcast, Everything We Learned, a movie appreciation podcast where we talk about different movies and the lessons we learned from them. We covered A Day After Tomorrow, which is a great movie. Excellent. Holds up. Okay. There's some moments where it's just like, ugh, this feels bad in 2021 or 2022. I don't remember when I recorded that episode.
It's all the same. Time is a flat circle. Yes. Then, haven't you heard?
Unfortunately, I've heard that, I think, every time I've been on here.
Listen, Thank you.
Oh,
for listening.
I forgot to ask Cody, what are your opinions on The National?
Ooh, Dan, great question. I'm not going to fall into your pitfall of stretching this episode out even further.
Follow up, but do you think Mr. Simmons would have liked The National?
All right, answer to your first question, I love The National. Second question, I think The National would be too edgy for Mr. Simmons, which is to say The National is not very edgy, and I think Simmons is a big, soft person. And
thank you so much. Well,
hey, maybe after this episode, he's more privy to the trials and horrors of being alive. All that being said, thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Defness, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and thanks so much for joining us, Dan. You can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Yeah, it's always great to podcast with you, Dan. Thank you for helping us decipher these two. And I've been Emily Sui. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Sui.
You know, it's been a rough week here on the pod. You know, these a couple tough episodes to cover. I am moved by this great tragedy. We must all pull together in times like this.